No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Tuesday edition of The Yard, it should have been the Monday edition, but the day got away from me and had the opportunity to return Duty Noble's things to his family. You can only begin to imagine that my anxiety level now is like a 1, where it was like a 1,000, because you have these irreplaceable items in your possession. Very, very grateful to that family that we're going to be able to publish some of that stuff for you. You're going to get a chance to see some of the things that Duty Noble kept, things that were important to him, his personal papers. We couldn't do them all. I mean, it was so much of it. But we picked the best of the best. Included in that, of course, is the handwritten letter of resignation from Alan McKean. You're going to have that. I cannot begin to tell you what this process has meant to me. Matter of fact, our top 10 list today is going to be 10 things that you'll learn in The Dude, The Life and Times of Duty Noble, instead of music today. Thought about this last night on the way home. But it's interesting, you know, as I shared with you guys before, you know, when I first began to think about all this, I wanted to be open-minded about everything. A lot of things happened during the Duty Noble era. A lot of things happened in our country and in our state. Little did I know when we started that I would have to write about World War I, the Great Depression, World War II, Civil Rights Movement. A lot of crazy stuff like that. I guess really the early stages of the civil rights movement in our country. And so his era encompasses not just an important part of Mississippi state history or Southern history, but American history. And in some respects, world history. And I don't know that I thought about that in the beginning. But you learn, you detail things out, you put a timeline together and say, okay, here are the things I want to cover. And there's some things that happened. It's pretty crazy. But I'm very excited about what's next, and we will get some things going for you. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. We just tried to make it as simple as we could. DutyNobleBook.com. You can pre-order. All the limited editions are sold out, but you can get a standard edition, which is just a book, right? I mean, you know, it's just a regular book. It's a great book, if I do say so myself, but it's a book. And excited to have that for you, too. And real quickly here, too, if you're in the greater Kosciuszko area, pardon me, I guess it's still their era, the Whippet era, right? I'm going to be there Friday evening. We'll cover a football camp on Thursday and Friday. I'll come home, get cleaned up, get a shower, get to looking good, smelling good for you guys, because you deserve the best me you can get, right? And so I'm going to be in at the Itala County Library this Friday evening. Let me give you the details right here. Really excited about these folks here. Going to be a little meet and greet. And it's going to be 6 p.m. this Friday. This Friday. And that really nice write-up from them. I have to thank them. That's 201 South Huntington Street in Kosciuszko. This Friday. I'll mention that again on tomorrow's show and then on Friday, but I'll be there. And then a lot of people, of course, as we get into, a new book cycle, you know, things begin to kind of end. People, hey, Steve, are you coming here? Guys, I don't know. I don't know yet. I had planned to tour extensively, to be honest with you, when the bottom falls. I didn't do a ton of dates, and I'll be honest with you, part of it just took so much out of me. It's true, and that sounds very selfish, and I do, in some respects, feel kind of bad about that, and I'll tell you why, and I think I've shared it with you guys before. You know, when I wrote Dogpile, you know, everybody showed up in their NAFL championship shirts, and it's a high five, and it's a hug, and hey, we finally did it. You know, when people show up for When the Bottom Falls stuff, it's a different crowd. It's a different crowd. And I love that crowd. I love both crowds. I do. I love them. But, going around, I deal with recovery all the time and deal with addiction. I had to sign some books for some people whose kids have passed away from overdoses. You know, and I did a few dates and I said, you know, I probably need to do something else. And so that touring cycle didn't last long. This one with the dude will be a lot more extensive, probably closer to what I did with Dogpile, and maybe as much as we did with Flim Flam. We did several states and several dates, and so if you are interested in booking a date, you can contact me on social, and I'll put you in contact with my scheduler that handles all that sort of stuff. Whether you've got an alumni group or just a group of friends or whatever, you're getting together and having a big Mississippi State party, a send-off party, whatever. Are you on a gift shop or a bookstore or anything like that? We can we'll do our regular stops. We always do. But if you're interested in that, then I can put you in contact. But there's some things that have to happen. You know, I mean, I can't just show up and take you to dinner, you know, give you a book. It's got to be worth our time and effort. But we will travel extensively for the Dude book tour. Now, much of that, because of the timing of the release of this book, it's going to be during football season. And so it's got to be scheduled around that. Like, I'm not going to miss a game to come to your watch party because I have to cover Mississippi State. But we're going to do a lot of stuff in town. So for all of you that are traveling, and one of the things, it's super cool, still working out the details because we got to get the release date, but Duty Noble's family is going to come to Starkville and bring his memorabilia, like his M Club sweater and some footballs and things that he kept. And you're going to have a chance to view these items. You're going to see them for the first time. And we'll do a big book signing, you know. And that'll be likely on a game day here in Starkville. And so we'll do it early enough so you can tailgate and then come get your books and come meet his family, which are absolutely wonderful people. And then you can go put your books up in your car or whatever or back at your tailgate and get back to partying and then go to the ball game. So we're going to do it. Again, working out the details on that. I'll let you know as we get closer. But we're going to tour extensively and going to be doing a bunch of holiday dates, a ton, you know, because we'll do, in the past, we've done Christmas Village and then Mistletoe Marketplace and all that good stuff. We'll do all that stuff. That's the plan anyway. And so I will be out there available. I'm not getting a haircut. I'm not wearing a collared shirt. Maybe. I'm not getting a haircut, I can promise you that. But I might wear a collared shirt, depending on how you get things going on. In some respects, I may wear a jacket. It's usually leather, which hurts feelings, and that's okay. That's all right. You got the right to be upset about things that aren't your business, as is America. But all that understood, I'm really excited about the book. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about it in the top 10 list. But I wanted to share that with you. So thanks, as always, for your support. And while you're at DutyNobleBook.com, you can get all my sports titles and When the Bottom Falls. It feels like we're always doing that. Got 7 books. I mean, are you kidding me? We're at book 7 now. It's true. And to be honest with you, sometimes I reflect at that. I'm like, is this really my life? I mean, really? This is where we've come? But I can tell you, I think this is the most important book I've ever written as far as Mississippi State sports history goes. Truly. Stark Villains and Alpha Dogs were a blast, and all they did was prepare me for this. And that's how I feel about it. It's like I feel like in that respect, I'm maturing as a writer. And the research in this book has been very labor-intensive, as you can imagine, because many of these stories are, 50 to 100 years old, there's some things, some amazing things that I've uncovered, and I can't wait for you all to read it. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show, man, and I had Harvey's for dinner the other night. I'm thinking Bulldog Burger Company tonight. And one of the things that I love about getting Bulldog Burger Company to go, because you know the Brad running the float spa, you can go out and check that out too, is they package the to-go order so well. I mean, it's almost like a next level science with them. Like sometimes I'll get food to go other places because I'm kind of reclusive when I'm riding. But and it's like they just kind of throw it in a bag. And then I get home and it may as well be a gumbo or something. But they do such a good job with the to-go orders at Bulldog Burger Company. And the containers are substantial. The food is separated. I'm not one of those people that has to have my food not touching, but maybe you are. But Bulldog Burger Company does such a great job with that. It's such a pleasure to be able to get fresh and hot food back to where I'm eating and not have to have a mess on my hands. And I never really talk about that on the show, but I want to give them compliments for doing that. They do such a great job. And listen, I'm not a person that usually likes to tip a whole lot on to-go orders, but I tip my regular allotment when I go to Bulldog Burger Company. It's because of the fact that they do such a good job. You know, my convenience is worth something. And when somebody's taking the extra step to ensure that my meal is going to be in a great condition when I get it home, well, to me, that's worth a few extra bucks. It is to me, for sure. Again, I mean, you basically give me shepherd's pie in a sack when I go other places. It's true. It's terrible. But I've kind of got a hankering for the smokehouse. I for some reason, the last couple of days, I've like the smokehouse feels like I need that in my life. So I'm going to have that next. Probably get those onion rings. You can get the dipping sauce with it too. If you're a dipper, maybe you're not. I'm not judging. I like my onion rings just as they are. I don't dip them in ketchup. I don't do that kind of stuff. But I know we're getting a little bit too deep in the weeds here. But I love those onion rings at Bulldog Burger Company. I do. Now, three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Sark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. You're going to be satisfied. Great food, great price, great atmosphere, great experience. You can have an adult beverage. At times, you need to see some live music over in Tupelo. It's true. Tap takeovers. I mean, these people know how to entertain you and feed you and make you feel like it was worth coming out for a night away, right? Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, let's talk a little bit about college baseball. Now, one thing you guys want to know, Steve, what's going on in the portal? Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been a little bit reluctant to share some things because of the fact, number one, it's such a dynamic thing. And I've been in contact with the next Mississippi State portal commitment. And by the time you hear this show, maybe that news will be made public. As a matter of fact, we might even have to stop the show here so I can grab those quotes for a story a little bit later today. But yeah, we feel like that we got something good happening. And so that's the only tip I'm going to give you. Only one. But yeah, we're on some big guys, you know, and there's going to be some guys visiting this weekend. The first commitment out of the portal that's broken by us and... one of the things that I like to do whenever possible is give the young man their moment. And I always ask them, are you okay with me just putting out here? You know, do you need a graphic? We can supply one for you. We want the moment to be special. It's true. But Garrick Frye, a player that I have been kind of excited about ever since we saw him with North Alabama, to be honest. I remember as previewing North Alabama. I write the midweek preview. Of course, Mike Nemeth, the great Mike Nemeth, writes our weekend preview. I write the midweek preview. And we had way too many midweek games that were a struggle this year. This one wasn't a walk-away type thing either. But the guy that jumped off the page was Garrick. Now, number one, he clearly comes from a baseball family, which is always a great thing. But I began to dig into this a little bit here, and you start looking at numbers, and you're like, man, holy smokes, this guy has no protection around him. It's true. Going to be your third baseman. So he will take the spot of Logan Kohler. It's not going to be gift-wrapped to him. He's going to have to come in and compete. He's got to play hard this fall. But he is expected to be your starting third baseman next year. But he is a guy that can play all over, and he says, hey, I'm willing to do whatever this team needs me to do. And you like that team-first attitude. 6'1", 200 pounds. Originally from South Forsyth High School in Cumming, Georgia. He's from Alpharetta, but that's the same high school that gave us Landon Sims. I understand the family also has some connections to Ryan Gridley. Yeah, and so and you need every advantage you can get in the portal because it is so incredibly competitive. True story. Now, when you begin to look at let's look at this year's statistics for Gehrig if you haven't looked at them already. Maybe you have. Maybe you're like me. It's like as soon as you find these things out, you got to go, right? Steve, I got to know. And again, we've got another player today, expected today. Gehrig Frey, 320 batting average, which was 19 points higher than the next guy on the team. They only had two guys hit over 300 among the regulars. And so Gehrig Frey, 320, led them in just about every offensive statistical category. And there are some numbers that just jump off the page. And listen, North Alabama wasn't great this year, by no stretch. Because he had 51 runs scored. 51. That's a dozen more than the number two guy. Now, some of that, of course, obviously depends on the people behind him. But he had 66 hits, tops on the team. He had 12 doubles, which was third on the team. But he had 15 jacks. They had nobody else in that lineup that hit more than nine. No protection behind him at all. 15 jacks, 49 ribbies, which also led the team. 25 walks, and here's the thing that I look at too. This 25 walks against just 26 Ks. So he's walking as often as he's striking out. And he's striking out 26 times in 206. And guys, I'll tell you this, he doesn't swing and miss. That's the thing you look at. He doesn't swing and miss. He could run a little bit, but they didn't run bases much out there. I mean, just 33 attempts on the year. But this is a guy, strikeout ratio is an important number. On-base percentage is an important number. His OPS this year, 1.017. That dog will hunt. But again, this is a guy that gets on base, finds a way to get around. A guy that can drive in runs for you. He can score runs for you. Also led the team in 11 hit-by-pitches. Imani Larry's legacy will live on. But, very good get. And so a good start. Now you say, Steve, okay, yeah, it's one player. We need a fortune. We need a new roster. We don't need quite that many. That said, probably going to be 7 or 8 in the portal. Probably going to be 7 or 8. I expect probably evenly split between position players and pitchers. And a lot of people forget that, you know, this is not like a club team that we only deal with in the portal. We got some really good high school players and junior college players coming in too. You know, so that's important to understand. Now, we have learned, too, this morning, and we broke the news over at jeanspage.com, that Jackson McKenzie is entering the transfer portal. Now, he was a guy, too, that we thought was going to be the heir apparent at first base for Hunter Hines. And so he's moving on. We wish him the best. Jackson McKenzie, an outstanding young man, came in here, just didn't work out for us. It's not always somebody's fault, right? But Jackson's a guy, obviously, that we were very, very high on, but now he's leaving the program. We do expect some more attrition, just so you guys know. Just so you know, we do expect some more. So we've got to get a first baseman in the portal. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And there was a lot of discussion. Jackson McKenzie could be the guy. Beginning of the year, that was the talk. It's like Jackson McKenzie will play some this year, kind of get his feet under him a little bit, and he'll be the starting first baseman next year. Should be a good left-handed power bat for us. And that's changed. And so there are some names out there that we are associated with, and no, I'm not going to share them here on the show. You said, but Steve, why not? Well, I mean, you know, when you have sources, you don't want to be the source for everybody else until it's time to break the news. It's true. And so I share that with you because it's important to understand. So that gives you three guys in the portal. We do expect a couple more here in the days ahead. And there's a lot of this, too. Like, you know, summer baseball's here, that kind of stuff. And so a lot of these kids need summer baseball because they're going to be seen. You know, guys are out there. They're going to be in the portal. You go out there and you put together a good summer and you get an opportunity to go play somewhere else. As I've mentioned several times on the show, maybe hundreds of times, you only get a short time in life to play sports. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want a career bench warmer. I wouldn't want that for myself. I wouldn't want it for my sons, my daughters, my grandchildren. I wouldn't want it for you. If you don't aspire to be a starting player, I don't have a lot of use for you. I don't need somebody to go out there and just shag fly balls and pick up all the gear when we're done. We got student managers for that, right? And so I don't fault anybody that wants to leave and improve their situation.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And maybe go to a place where they can get on the field. Because pretty soon all this is over with. And it's gone before you realize it. It truly is. At the end of the day, we all get cut. End of the day, we don't make a team. You got to go get a job. You know, cut your hair, get a real job. Start paying a mortgage. Start paying insurance premiums, all that kind of stuff. Life changes. And so you got to make the most of those years while you have them. And that's not to say that's the best years of your life. Some people would suggest that. I would promise you that I'm having more fun today than I've ever had. There's different phases in life. But to get the most out of those years in life, you got to be on the field. Now, I get it. You know, we are a blue-collar people, Mississippi State folks. We believe in hard work. And it's like, no, you don't go get in the portal. You go work hard and you win that spot. Well, sometimes the writing's on the wall. And listen, I appreciate coaches around the country that'll be honest with kids and say, listen, we don't think you're going to play here. Now, you're welcome to stay, but we don't think you're going to play here. And sometimes, and I go back to the Dan Mullen era, you know, we had guys want to transfer. It's even back before the transfer portal. But guys would come in here and say, you know what, coach, I've been here for 2-3 years, and I'm third on the depth chart. I'm not going to play here. I understand that. I wanted an opportunity to get out there and make some memories and be able to play before my time is over. And Dan and us guys would get on the phone and call coaches and say, hey, listen, here's the deal. This kid can play. He's not good enough to play here. Says a lot about Dan, but he's not the only coach that did that, you know, or does that. There are a ton of coaches out there that'll make a call for a kid. And listen, here's the thing, too. You got to think the way baseball recruiting has changed. You know, in the beginning of this, guys, we were committing 8th- to 9th graders. And many of you were like, wait a minute. And you were right. And what happens is some of those guys commit, and then it inspires them to greater things. There are others that maybe don't develop at the rate you hope. And there are some others, of course, that kind of coast. I think I've got nothing to prove now. My college dream is going to come true. But no, you got to sprint through the gate. And so I think with the change in the rules now, where you get on them when they're juniors, you can officially offer them and commit them then. You've got more information. But I think, what does it do to a young guy? You know, it's like, okay, he's a freshman. Okay, he's committed to LSU. Oh. Well, all you've done is kind of put a target on this kid's back, right, in many respects, right? And in some ways it'll make them better. In some ways it'll make them fold. Then all of a sudden guys begin to pitch around them, or they throw at them, or, you know. Yeah, that's what happens. You know, so I think the recruiting process evolving is a good thing for young baseball players. And not to mention, I don't want a guy who's peaked in the 10th grade. I want a guy that understands he's still got to earn it. He's still got to go out there and play hard. You got to get in the batting cage. You got to take extra grounders. You can't just say, well, I'll just coast through these next couple of years. And as you guys know, before I had all this hair, I was a high school baseball coach. And I'm going to give you a brief story about that that kind of applies here. My first year coaching the varsity, we didn't win a district game, not one. And we had a bad bunch of seniors. And the reason we had a bad bunch of seniors is the year before, we had a great group of seniors. And so those juniors kind of rode the coattails of those guys. And there was a sense of entitlement. Well, hey, we're this and we're that. And we made the playoffs the last 2 years. We won a district championship. And so those role players didn't recognize they were role players. They thought, hey, well, this is my senior year. It's my time to shine. And it was, but they didn't shine. And so with about 15 games left in the season, we benched those guys. They had to play a little bit, but we benched them. We played the young kids. And it made a lot of people mad. And you had to be willing to deal with that. And you know what we did the very first game that we benched the seniors? We won. And it sent a big message, not only to the returning players, but the guys that were departing. True story. Changed things. Because you had guys that were coasting on the accomplishments of other people. It's like, well, yeah, you may have gotten an RBI double here and there, but that wasn't your team. And then when you had a chance to make this your team, you elected not to do it, and incredibly, none of those guys got recruited. Not even like Baton Rouge Junior College. None of them. Not Delgado. None of those guys got a chance to play beyond. It's true. And they were shocked. Couldn't believe it. Thought we didn't work hard as a staff. But the bottom line is this, is the recruiters in the area saw what we saw. These guys were front runners. And that's what happens in recruiting. All of a sudden, when you identify there's a guy out there that maybe just be a role player for you, that they can't play in a Southeastern Conference. You got to have guys that'll absolutely get after people. And I've shared this with you guys. I've written it, and I've said it to more people than I can count. I don't want Mississippi State baseball to be respected. I don't. I don't want it to be respected. I don't want it to be disrespected either. Which is one of the things we went through last year. In Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and South Carolina, all these people coming here stomping on the plate. And I guess we went to Knoxville last year. But you understand my point. I'm not going to ever allow anybody to disrespect me. I don't know how you feel. You're entitled to be who you want to be. But Mississippi State, that M over S, is an iconic symbol in college baseball. And you cannot let people come to Duty Noble Field and act however they want to. You see, but Steve, I want to play that game. And then you don't want to play at Mississippi State. Then you need to find a Division III program and walk on there. Because there's an expectation here. And I want Mississippi State baseball to be feared. Because fear commands a respect of its own. I want every year when the Southeastern Conference baseball fans around this country, when they open up that schedule, when the SEC releases that schedule, and say, oh, we got to play Mississippi State. That's a dead weekend. I may want to take a trip down to Duty Noble Field just to kind of take it all in because it looks so majestic, and it is. And it looks so perfect, and it nearly is. But I don't expect to go down there and win a game. I want every baseball team in the country, when they open up and see Mississippi State's a weekend opponent, say, you know, we're just hoping to get one. That's what I want to get back to. And as I confessed on the show, it's like beginning of this year, I was like, I just want to get in a road regional somewhere. I'm tired of feeling that way. Mississippi State baseball deserves better than that, right? And so we've taken a step. Now we have to take the next step. We've got to get back to a point that there is a mystique around Mississippi State baseball. You know, Tennessee has it right now. And I don't know that Tennessee's built for Omaha. We're going to talk about Omaha a little bit later in the show. But I want people to look at Mississippi State baseball and say, you know what? I think I'm going to go fishing this weekend because my team is playing Mississippi State. Maybe a good time to get some yard work done, honey, because we're playing the Diamond Dogs. We're playing those kids that came up from a program that, you know, started by William Jennings. And, of course, Duty Noble, of course, brought to regional prominence, and Paul Gregory brought to national prominence. And then Ron Polk made it one of the best baseball programs of all time. And, of course, there's so many other coaches that have come and gone over the years. But I don't want anybody, whether it be players, coaches, fans, I don't want anybody out there in the world to ever think, we'll beat Mississippi State. I don't want them to feel that way. They may tell themselves that to make themselves feel better. But I want people to view a weekend at Duty Noble kind of like they view a weekend at Alex Box. He's like, you know, we're going to go down there. It's going to be a great crowd. It's going to be a great atmosphere. We'll have some great food. But we're not going to win many ball games. That's what we have to get back to. Because when that happens, that means, number one, you've got the talent and you've got the ability to really embarrass people at times. And I enjoy doing that. I'm a terrible loser, but I'm a worse winner. And just listen, those of you that watched the Mighty Ducks years ago, and those were great. Gordon Bombay was our friend, right? It's not worth winning if you can't win big. I believe that. That's me. It's not my job to keep it close. It's my job to win and to score as many runs or points or touchdowns or baskets as I can. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to let you know. I'm going to leave no doubt. I'm going to let you know. And you're going to leave here, and it's going to add to the mystique, and it's going to add to the fear that other teams should have. I don't want anybody to sit down and say, you know what? Let's break these guys down here. Now, when you get through this guy and that guy, the lineup doesn't have any length. Now, I want him to say, you know what? You can't even pitch to a nine-hole hitter. You know, we saw some of that against Virginia. Very, very, very good lineup. There's a reason they're in Omaha. We talked about it on the show. I thought winning the regional was going to be more difficult than winning the Super. And it was. And Virginia just sweeps right through the whole thing. And I think they're a team that's probably built for Omaha. The pitching's a concern. But the offensive side of things, you know, they're built for Omaha. And again, we'll get to that shortly. But I want us to get back to being what we should be. And, of course, I don't have this revisionist history. And, again, I think maybe outside of Joe Deere, I probably know more about Mississippi State baseball history than most because I've studied it extensively and written about it, fascinated by it. Love going out there finding these players out there that have kind of been forgotten by the current generation, like Cotton Clentworth. Yeah. He's an all-league catcher for us. He's a stud. Absolutely was. And you're going to read about those guys and the dude. But I want the Mississippi State mystique to be back. And I know you want that too. And there's some people out there that say, well, you know, we had a good year this year. And we did. We did have a good year. We did. And it was a step in the right direction. And I'll be honest with you. I think the coaching job this year may have been the best job that Chris Simonis has done all his entire tenure here. He said, but Steve, we won an AFL championship. Well, yeah, we did, but I didn't think we had to coach as hard because of the fact that we had so much more depth. That's the reality of that team, you know. Of course, we had the benefit of the COVID year in 2020 when so many guys that would have gone came back. We had the abbreviated COVID draft, just five rounds, and so that meant Tanner Allen was back. I mean, if they don't do that, we don't win that national championship, but it is what it is. What happens, what happened. But when you begin to think about this, you lose your Friday night starter for basically the entire SEC, right? It's true. You lose your starting catcher in fall and then have to go out and you've signed a depth piece in Johnny Long and you end up getting Steven Spoletta falling in your lap and he's still got a ways to go defensively, but you had to go out and get Joe Powell. You know, I mean, it's like, and the guys, I'm going to be honest with you, now that Johnny's gone, I love Johnny, I do. But there are some days I think there was a better chance of me throwing out a runner at second than Johnny. And I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just kind of saying it for what it is. Johnny was very limited in that aspect. He was an exceptional receiver. And his way he handled pitches, absolutely incredible. Incredible. But controlling the running game, not necessarily a strong attribute of his. But yet we were able to navigate through that because we were able to control the game through the pitching aspect of things, right? It's true. And so you begin to work your way through that. Remember Logan Kohler got hurt on the first game of the year? That shoulder popped out? Remember that? Wasn't out long, but he was out. Dave Marchand pulls a hamstring in the last scrimmage of the fall, you know? And so we wonder, oh, we got off such a slow start. Have you forgotten? You know, have you forgotten that we didn't have our original starting left fielders. I mean, it's left side infielders. It's true. It's part of the deal. And you start working through all that, and let's just be honest. I mean, Dakota Jordan had a great year. Hunter Hines had a really good year. We needed those guys to have career years. We really did. Not to put too much pressure on them, but we did. You had Connor Heisek, a guy that barely played in 2023, probably play his way into a draft position. I got some people telling me he'll probably go seventh or eighth round. Now, he'll be a senior saver, right? They'll throw $25,000 at him and save the rest of the money for their bonus pool. But But the reality of it is, when you begin to kind of work your way, and we had a lot of injuries this year too. They just didn't cripple us the way they had before. And again, I give the staff a lot of credit. But we've got to go out there and get some guys that can really play. And this portal, it's a very, 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 maybe the most important portal season we've ever had. We may say the same thing next year. But when you think about, you know, what we need, I think we've got to be honest with ourselves. We've got to hit on a handful of guys. And I don't mean, you know, go get four or five and then half of them pan out. You know, we need to go out and get seven or eight guys and come in here and do a great job for us and, you know, watch some of these younger guys develop. And again, I'm very excited, what I'm hearing about Norrie, the center fielder from Michigan. You know, he's a lot of people are telling me that there's going to probably be 16 or 17 college hitters taken in the first round, which is going to push guys like Dante Norrie back, probably into a bonus situation that means he comes to school. Yeah, that's part of the factor too. And so don't just think, hey, it's just going to be about portal players. We've got some other dudes coming in too. We got some goose, of course, like House that didn't get to play a lot this year that will be a factor in it as well. One other quick item before we get to the top 10 list. I've just learned that Max Miller, sophomore left-handed pitcher Max Miller, is also entering the NCAA transfer portal. So that brings you four Diamond Dogs that have entered the portal, four so far. Just want to make sure we get that. Again, Max is a guy that very, very likable young man. So many people speak so highly of him. Wish him the absolute best wherever he lands. All right, time for today's top 10 list is brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair. B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. It's an important decision, kids. It really is. Because you can get in a bad deal. A lot of people out there, you know, want to charge you as many points as they can, get as much fees associated with your loan as they can. That's just not the case. Not the case. Blair Chandler. Give him a call at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. And maybe you're looking for a game day condo. It may be more affordable than you think because Blair's got the ability to help you kind of move some things around. Maybe even some consolidate some debt, pay some things off to lower your debt-to-income ratio. It's important. There's a language out there. There's some jargon associated with the mortgage industry that maybe you're not as familiar with. You don't know what drives it all. Well, Blair does. Yeah, that's right. 20-plus years of experience. Nobody stays in an industry 20-plus years just by accident. Recently made the move to Priority One Mortgage. Blair will take care of you, whether you're looking to reset life or just kind of get your adult life off on the right foot. And rather than throw your money away renting, you can build up some equity, have something in your life. And more importantly, maybe you're just, you know, Steve, I just need to get a home, right? I just want to get off the rabbit wheel of renting. I want to be able to leave my children something. I want to have a house here that they have something, whether they live in it or they sell it and they give themselves a head start at life. You know, when I'm gone, a legacy of sorts. Blair can assist you with that. 601-500-2344. Okay, top 10 list today, all about Duty Noble. I want to share a few things with you about Duty and about the book and about a few other things that maybe you're unfamiliar with. So here are at least 10 things you're going to learn in the Duty Noble book. At least 10 things you're going to learn in the book, The Dude. If I can find it, you know how this stuff works. I put some of this on Facebook last night, but I want to expound on it on the show because I want you to know a few more details because I love all of you. I do. I love you. Even if you don't love me, I love you. And I appreciate you listening to the show. I know there are some people that hate listen. But the reality is you're here. And I want good things to happen to you in your life. I do. I want good things to happen in your life, even if we can't be agreed. That's my feeling about it. I mean, life is too short. Death is too certain, man, to live with that bitterness in our hearts. You know, it's true. it's true. Okay, so here we go. 10 things about Duty Noble, at least 10, and you're going to learn a lot more than this. There's so much more. The book is packed with information. Number 10, his initial nickname wasn't Duty. And he didn't get the nickname until he got here. Everybody in his family called him Randolph. Randolph Noble Field. Kind of indifferent about that. But his original nickname, I won't tell you what it is, and you'll find out in the book, wasn't Duty. And he got that his first year playing football at Mississippi State. It has something to do with an event that happened at the training table. One of his first days as a Mississippi State varsity football player under Coach Billy Chadwick. The second thing you're going to learn, number 9 on our list, is how he got the name Duty. We named him Duty. We, as meaning Mississippi State. He wasn't Duty until his sophomore year at Mississippi State. And it stuck. The name stuck. And his initial nickname would not have worked well on the name of a stadium. Truly, you know. It worked out good, I guess, us being an ag school. But, again, his family called him Randolph. And all of a sudden, you know, he became Duty. And a lot of it is associated with the phrase dude. You know, dude became Duty. And next thing you know, I mean, the rest of his life, he was Coach Duty or CR Duty Noble. Everybody called him Duty. But, again, that nickname did not occur until he got to Mississippi State. It wasn't like Rowdy Jordan, whose family gave him that name growing up. All right, number 8. You're going to find out why Mississippi State and Ole Miss didn't meet on a football field in 19, 12, 13, and 14. And maybe you didn't even know that abbreviation or that pausation of the schedule. Maybe you didn't know that existed. But one of the things, and I'll give you a little bit of a tip here, a little hint. If you go look at the 1913 Ole Miss football season, you can pull it up on several websites, Wikipedia, whatever. Look in our media guide. You'll notice they didn't play any Southeastern Conference opponents. We were the SIAA back then, the Southeastern or the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Association, kind of the precursor of the SEC. There's your hint there. But we didn't play them in 12, 13, and 14. Number 7 on our list. In 1915, we finally got him back on the schedule, and we beat him 65-0. And yes, it was personal. And you're going to find out why it was personal when you read the book. What happened? Why was Mississippi State so upset with Ole Miss? And to this day, that 65-0 absolute whitewashing of Ole Miss is the largest margin of victory for either school in the rivalry. I joked with Mike Leach his first year over dinner. I said, Coach, you don't know this story, but in 1915, we beat Ole Miss 65-0. Before I could even finish, Leach looks at me and he says, so that's what I'm aiming for? I said, absolutely, Coach. I said, and the job is not done until you set a new record of a new margin of victory against Ole Miss. And he goes, okay, duly noted. Always nice we can work in a Mike Leach story. All right, number 5. Now back at number 6. There was a time that Duty Noble, of course, was looking to hire a football coach and nearly pulled off one of the biggest hires in the country. We had a coach that agreed to terms with us that had won multiple national championships. And then all of a sudden there was some contractual issues that popped up that prevented him from being hired. I didn't know that story until I began to write this book. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? We almost hired this guy? Yeah, we did. I even got quotes from an era, you know, days gone by. Got quotes from everybody involved. Duke Humphrey, everybody. Name sound familiar? Duke Humphrey? Should. But we nearly pulled off an absolute blockbuster hire in football. I think it says a lot about Duty Noble, too. You know, We had had some success under Major Ref Sassy, the first real success in our program's history. And, of course, Sassy, you know, had to leave under auspicious circumstances. Very, very sad story. And Duty Noble swung for the fences. And nearly hit a home run. He ended up getting a ground rule double that eventually developed into a home run. You learn more about that. All right, number five. Many of you know the story about Shorty McWilliams. You know, Shorty, of course, legend. The first Mississippi State player to ever get votes for the Heisman Trophy. True story. And then, of course, you know, World War II breaks out and all the young men had to enlist for service. And then Shorty got appointed to West Point and got up there, had a great year playing with Doc Blanchard. And then when the war ended, Shorty wanted to come home. And the Army basically tried to keep him from coming home. And you're going to read about that in great detail. Shorty Williams did eventually come back, and I had the opportunity to interview Miss Gloria McWilliams years ago before she died. What a wonderful lady she proved to be. And I had a chance to share this story with their daughters when Shorty's name was added to the Ring of Honor at Davis-Wade Stadium. And I remember one daughter said, "Oh my gosh, that was you." She talked about that interview for years. And one of the sweetest things that I can share with you about that is I did not know at the time that Shorty McWilliams had passed away. I had done my research. You know, the internet was still kind of catching up when it came to archives. And so Shorty McWilliams' name was listed in the Meridian phone book. And you used to could access that information online. So I thought, hey, I just called. And I said, "Hey, can I speak to Shorty?" Explained who I was. And Miss Gloria said, "Oh, sweetheart, I'm sorry. Shorty passed away and, you know, a few years back." And so we had this great interview, and we talked for a long time, and she's so funny. She said that, Shorty pulled for both State and Ole Miss and Southern when they were playing because he wanted what was best for Mississippi. And Miss Gloria said, "I wasn't that good at sport. I always wanted Ole Miss to lose." Funny. And so as the interview concluded, you know, and I hated to let her go, you know, because she was having so much fun, and we spoke so extensively, and we reran that story after Shorty was added to the Ring of Honor. And Miss Gloria said, she said, "Sweetheart, will you do me a favor?" I said, "Sure, Miss Gloria." She said, "Will you call me back someday so we can talk about my Shorty some more?" And that stays with me. It really does. And she did pass away. And but it was nice to have had the opportunity one afternoon to be able to kind of discuss that with her and allow her the opportunity to share some very precious memories. All right, number four, you're going to find out why Alan McKean was fired and who was responsible for it and all the details that kind of led up to that. And it's a very embarrassing story. Ushered in a very tumultuous time in Mississippi State Athletics as we had some donors that were after Alan McKean. And then after they got McKean fired, they basically ramrodded, we'll combine whatever metaphors we need to here, the next coaching search to hire Slick Morton. It's true. And then when things didn't work out the way they thought, well, it couldn't have been their fault. Had to have been Duty Noble's fault. Had to have been his fault. Because they went out and hired some mediocre coach because he ran an offense they wanted to run. Didn't work out. So their handpicked coach was a disaster, and so they went after Duty Noble. That's part number three. It was a plot to oust Duty Noble and our president, Coach Fred Mitchell, or Dr. Fred Mitchell. And that story, that segment of the story, is kind of Shakespearean in many respects, and I use that exact phrasing. Because, you know, when the conflict was resolved, many of the participants left this world. It was crazy to think about what the gravity of all that and how it weighed on the men that were involved. But it got to be so contentious, there was actually an investigation into our university by the State College Board, as instructed by the State Senate, who was influenced by some donors that we're just kind of mad over football. And so we talk about the cancel culture. You know, hey, we kind of started that, embarrassingly so. And when you read those pages, it's going to make you really, really sad because you're going to think about what Mississippi State perhaps might have been in football. And one of the things that I've thought about extensively, you know, the descendants of that discourse are alive today. There are a lot of people out there that think they know better. It's true. And so when we don't get what we want, you know, we lead these campaigns and, you know, make these calls for blood in the internet streets and things like that. But I share my thoughts about that. And it is, an absolutely shameful time in the history of Mississippi State sports. And I did not realize how bad that it was until I wrote this book. I'd always heard, you know, a few things. This guy did this and this guy did that. And I didn't fully appreciate the facts because I didn't know all the facts. And now that I know the facts, it's sad. If you love Mississippi State, when you read through that chapter, you're going to think, you know what? Man, if we could do that over again, we would. All right, number two, the game of change was not the first time that Mississippi State played against an integrated opponent. And there are some details that I have unearthed that doesn't in any way diminish the game of change, which was an incredibly significant event, not just in Mississippi State sports, but in Mississippi politics. Because as you had a state college board and a state legislature that was absolutely, absolutely going to do all they could for segregation. They were. And there was another school in our state that never gets talked about that had really the same thing happen to them. And nobody talks about that. You know, it's not, that part of it's not our history. It's just kind of a chapter in the entire story about it, of, you know, a state legislature that basically played God with the institutes of higher learning and in many respects gave Mississippi a black eye. And we've got plenty to talk about and plenty to explain away. But the fact that they used college athletics as a vehicle for all of their nonsense is something that I wanted to dig in extensively. I wanted to really dig into that, which leads us to number one. When I first began to write this book, of course, I had to hear some chirping from some Ole Miss fans and talk about, oh, you've got a racist name on your baseball stadium or whatever. And so I dug extensively into that. That's covered in chapters 23 and 24. And the blame in that situation is now properly assigned. Because here's something I bet you don't know. You know, we talk about, you know, Mississippi State got called back from that Christmas tournament in Evansville when Bailey Howell was on our team. And what you don't know is the next day Ole Miss was called home from Owensboro, Kentucky. Now, they won't tell you that, probably because they don't know or they don't want to know. But both Duty Noble and Tad Smith were basically pawns in a chess game, in many respects, that was played out by our state legislature and our state college board. And many of those people spoke on the record back then and shared their thoughts about it. And I think there are a lot of people that know a little bit of a nugget. And I don't know it all, but I know more than most because I've spent months of my life now working through this. I think there are some families associated with both Mississippi State and Ole Miss. They're going to feel a whole lot better after reading this book. I had the opportunity last night to bring Duty Noble's things back to two of his nieces that live in Batesville. And they're my friends now. I feel like they're part of my own family. And then when I shared with them some of the things that I have uncovered about that era, they were careful not to let me see. But I saw a couple of tears. It's a difficult thing to live with. It truly is. And to be able to tell the facts about all this and really kind of, you know, a lot of people out there want to assign motive about things they don't understand or they don't know about. They just, they get a nugget and they run to Twitter, run to Facebook, and this happened and this happened. And you don't know the backstory. And just so you know, the first time that a school from the state of Mississippi played against an integrated team in any sport was your Mississippi State Bulldog football team in 1946, 17 years before the game of change. Wrote about that a little bit in Alpha Dogs, but that's the first time. But there were others. You know, we weren't the first team to sneak out of the state to go play a game either. You know, and I say sneak out, I mean, Jones County went JCJC went and played the Little Rose Bowl against Compton College. It was an integrated team. And I found some newspaper editorials from that era that are going to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And all that happened really kind of in advance of all of the stuff with Mississippi State basketball at Evansville and Ole Miss and Owensboro. And again, I don't know why all these details don't get shared. It's always like we just want to talk about one thing. There was a very overarching story that needed to be told, and I believe that I've been able to do that. All right, that's our top 10 list for today. We'll get back to some music on Friday, but again, if you have it pre-ordered, you can go to dutynoblebook.com. Very, very simple, dutynoblebook.com. And pre-ordered, the books will be out late August, early September, barring something unforeseen. And so I share that with you because I want you to be a part of this. Now, of course, when you order the books aren't printed yet. So don't message me a week from now saying, hey, Steve, where's my book? It's going to be late August, early September. But you can go ahead and jump aboard that. All copies through the website will be signed. And that's an exciting part of it too, right? And so I look forward to sitting down and signing thousands of books. And we have sold a ton already. But I think every Mississippi State fan needs this book because, number one, it's a book of history, right? It's not, you know, me writing books of poetry and things like that. I've only done one of those. But, you know, and it's not me sitting here and just kind of interviewing people that, you know, kind of sharing their memories of that, even though I did interview Bailey Howell and many members of Duty Noble's family. But these are the facts. These are the facts about what happened with your university through some of the more difficult times in American history. And I think it's something that you're going to cherish for many years to come. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. That's right. A Starkvillian institution, Campus Bookmart, been serving its wonderful fan base for many, many years. Just great people, man. They're Bulldogs, too. They ride the wave up and down of emotion just like we do because they're invested in Mississippi State. And so because of that, I like to invest in them. Right? There are a lot of people out there selling Mississippi State clothing, but I always encourage you to shop and eat local. Whether you can make it to town or see their smiling faces and maybe get a complimentary hug, or you shop online, Campus Bookmart is your destination for Mississippi State merchandise. Whether you're outfitting your fan cave, detailing out your car, updating your wardrobe, you'll find the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise at Campus Bookmart. Visit them online at campusbookmart.net, and by being a loyal Boneyard listener, I'll give you a phrase that pays. That's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That's right. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75, and you order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. So when you get ready to take that trip to Disney, rep the brand, because you're going to have other Bulldog fans come up to you and say, hey, man, how do you think Coach Lovey's going to do this year? You wear Mississippi State stuff, you already have a built-in friend group. Be sure and check them out today, campusbookmart.net. All right, let's talk a little bit about Omaha, a little bit. I got some things to say, man. I think the way the bracket worked out is kind of an indictment in many respects on the committee, but you had a lot of one seeds make it. And so when you think about how the whole thing breaks down, ultimately, your 16 one seeds should largely comprise your Omaha field. In that respect, they got that part of it right. Right? Now, of course, it's a 50-50 proposition. You got 16 one seeds, and you hope eight of them make it. So if half of your teams advance throughout the Super Regionals, it's pretty chalky, right? So let's break it down. Okay, so Tennessee knocks down Evansville. They're going to be in bracket one. Also included in bracket one is Florida State, who knocked down UConn, who was a three seed. They went to Norman, and they knocked out Oklahoma and Duke, right? Duke, a lot of people said they were in the contention to host along with us, even though Coach Poward's facilities are not what they should be for a Power 5 program. My honest opinion is you reward the people that invest in college baseball and then produce great teams. You don't go out there and just say, well, I think we should have more Northeast representation in the tournament, or I think we should expand the game out West, because then you end up looking like a complete, utter moron. We'll get to that shortly. Virginia, of course, and give those guys a lot of credit, man. I tell you, being around that program and being around the people that work in Virginia last weekend, you know, sometimes you lose a regional and you think, oh, man, I hate losing to those guys. I didn't feel that way about Virginia. I did. It's a quality team. And North Carolina also kind of rounding things out. North Carolina, of course, they've been battle-tested, man. They had to take care of LSU, who was red hot. And it's interesting. We go back and think about the dynamic of Hoover, right? Remember, we had all those teams that were 13 and 17. There were five of them. And everybody had to show up to Hoover to kind of differentiate themselves. And the teams that played deep into Hoover did not play deep into the NCAA tournament. You know, LSU, of course, absolutely ridiculous how well they played. South Carolina, another team. They get eliminated in NC State bracket. Vanderbilt did absolutely nothing in the tournament. Got bounced in a regional. And then there's the Florida Gators. They found a way to get it done. They did. And that side of the bracket, you got Texas A&M, who knocked off Oregon, who was a three seed that won the UCSB regional. I'm going to say this again, and I don't care whose feelings it hurts, because I'm right about this. Teams like UC Santa Barbara should never host, ever, ever. But, Steve, it's not fair. It's not about being fair. It's about being right. They should absolutely not host. They don't have the facility to host. I know it's cute. It's like, you remember that time we let those guys host? Guys, you're ruining the tournament. We want to grow the game out west. Well, you know what's funny about that? Is it not a single team west of the Mississippi, other than Texas A&M, is in Omaha? Did you grow the game? No, you didn't. You exposed those teams out west and proved they had no business hosting. Oklahoma didn't advance. Oklahoma State didn't advance. Both of them get bounced in their own regionals and lose to three seeds. Three seeds. UCSB didn't advance. Oregon State did win their regional, and they get beat by Kentucky. They're done. Probably the classiest team in the West, Oregon State. It's nuts, man. Then there's Arizona. Went 0-2 in their own regional. But, Steve, they won their league and won their tournament. Yeah, what are they doing now? They're sitting at home pulling popcorn out their belly button like everybody else. They sit on the couch. You ruined it, man. It's a clown show. The good thing is some good teams made it, and it's going to be an all-SEC, ACC, Omaha. How about that? Did you grow the game? Well, there's too much happening in the Southeast. We've got to stop the advancement of Southeastern baseball. Well, guess what? You tried to screw us, and guess who got screwed in the end? You. You hurt Mississippi State, you hurt some other teams, but in the end, it's the ACC and the SEC, the top 1 and 2 RPI conferences in America, dominating the field. And, of course, yesterday, the last ticket was punched as NC State wins the Super Regional over Georgia, 2-1. And, of course, we mentioned Kentucky. And so, again, the top half of the bracket is Virginia, UNC, Florida State, Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee could have got a better bracket. Now, UNC has some real good pitching. And Virginia, some really good offense. And Florida State, a pretty good combination of both. Tennessee, good pitching, but a great offense. But I wonder how well this offense translates in Omaha. The Tony Vitello offensive system has not translated well in the big ballpark that's Omaha. When you are so incredibly reliant on home runs and then they don't come, you have all these warning track warriors, because it is a completely different deal than it will be at Lindsey Nelson. Completely different. It's true. Now, they got a couple. Blake Burke can hit some tanks. Christian Moore may be able to hit some. But it's a different dynamic when you play in Omaha. At some point, you got to play baseball. You can't play home run derby. You got to play in Omaha. That means you got to move runners. You got to hit balls in gaps. You got to be a doubles team to basically win. Yeah, home runs are great. You need them every now and again. But if your offense is only predicated on that, I mean, you go back to LSU several years ago, right? LSU goes 0-2, you know, up there, and people are like, hey, we got to change our whole hitting approach. Everything is different now, and it's true. And even last year, as gargantuan as that LSU team was from an offensive standpoint, and yes, they won the thing, but what won it for LSU last year? Pitching. Yet Thatcher Hurd, who's been a huge disappointment at OSU, they don't win the NAFL championship last year without Thatcher Hurd. Well, what changed, Steve? Well, the benefit of a big ballpark. I mean, when you play in that launching pad down there at Alex Box, you're going to hit some home runs. You're going to give up some, too. But Hurd and those guys went up there to Omaha last year, and that was the difference in the series, is how well they pitched it. Again, Thatcher Hurd, absolutely outstanding. Give that young man a lot of credit. Again, he has not lived up to his billing. But they do not win the NAFL championship last year without him. Bottom half of the bracket, NC State, Kentucky, Florida, and Texas A&M. So you've got three SEC teams on this side of the bracket and one on the other. So you could see an all-SEC final. And nobody wants that, right? Especially like the ADs at Eastern Carolina and Utah and Army and people like that who have no business on the D1 baseball committee. They don't. And you say, but Steve, you don't know them. I don't need to know them. The only people that should be on the D1 baseball committee, at least the majority of them, should be baseball people. That'd be like me, Steve Robertson, the long-haired, tattooed, dreadlock freak of nature, going out there and talking about transportation. Now, I drive a lot of interstates out here, so I should be an expert, right? No. No. That'd be like you, John Q. Fan. Maybe you're an accountant out there. We don't have you out there doing, working on the, on the architectural committee out there to get things done. You got to put experts on these committees. But instead, we have activists on the committee, not people that are going to pick the best 64 teams. And half of those are automatic qualifiers anyway. But you've got to deal out these at-large bids. You've got to determine hosting sites. But when you have people out there, we want to grow the game. No. You grow the game by winning. You grow the game by investing in facilities, in NIL, in coaching salaries. You should not be the kind of person that I'm going to go play in a subpar league, and we're going to win that league. And then sit around and hope that somebody on the committee says, well, we need more West Coast representation because we want to grow the game. Let me tell you this. UC Santa Barbara has a stadium that seats 1,000 people. 1,000. Their press box, I'm told, holds 2 people. And you got all this media that's going to be there to cover all these teams. That is not a good site to host. It's cute, and I'm sure it made you feel good, but you damaged the game. You damaged the tournament. Teams like that should never host. They don't deserve to host. You said, but Steve, they had a great year. Yeah, they did in a subpar conference. And so we're going to go out there and say, well, because we're so altruistic in our motives, we're going to go ahead and just give them a host site. What'd you do, man? You wrecked it. You absolutely wrecked it. It makes no sense whatsoever. And you can say what you want. You can do what you want. But the reality of it is the committee absolutely blew it, trying to grow the game, and you have so many people now. The only Western team to make it was A&M, who's part of the Southeastern Conference. It's just silly. I mean, it's silly how it all works out. When you want to get out here and play baseball politics and it blows up in your face, I'm happy about that. I'm rooting more for that than I am for any particular team in Omaha. Because I don't like it when people try to manipulate the system to their own personal benefit or the benefit of their school, and then it didn't work out for you. I celebrate them losing. I do. And John Gilbert from Eastern Carolina, I still haven't decided if I'm going to pursue this or not. I still haven't. But I think everybody should get credit for what they did and everything what they said. Whether you want that to be public or not, I think is inconsequential. But I don't know if you guys know this. Maybe you do. And I'm going to just kind of drop this on you because I think it's important you know this. East Carolina, the most NCAA tournament appearances in the history of college baseball without making it to Omaha. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. You're like, but Steve, no, but you. How many times do we have to keep giving these guys a regional? And there's plenty of places to host out there, right? I mean, you got North Carolina, you got Duke, you got NC State. There's so much of that. But they have an absolute ridiculous number of appearances. I'm trying to find it now. If I can find, yeah, here it is. I think. Most appearances, yes. Yeah, I think. Well, they don't include the whole thing. But I think it's 34, I think. I put it on Gene's page earlier. But 34 times Eastern Carolina has made the NCAA tournament. Zero trips to Omaha. Zero. So when are we going to learn the lesson? Right? So if we wanted to advance the game, you know, why did they get an opportunity to host? Because North Carolina hosted. NC State hosted. Is there not enough? In North Carolina, we had to give three host sites. In North Carolina, we talk about growing the game, and then you pot up three sites right there. I mean, come on. And then just down the road, there's Virginia. There was plenty of regional opportunities to put Southeastern and Eastern teams. But instead, we don't have any in Louisiana. We don't have any in Mississippi. We don't have any in Alabama. But we have three in North Carolina. But we're growing the game, guys. It's a clown show, bro. It is. It absolutely drives me nuts. I get so incredibly passionate about this. Because the people in charge of this, and yes, I have some people, I know some of the people on the committee, and I'm not being critical of them as individuals, because I absolutely believe without question Scott Strickland fought tooth and nail for Mississippi State. I absolutely believe that. And the information that I got is we got no help at all from anybody in the G5. We got no help, obviously, from John Gilbert at East Carolina and with Utah. Got absolutely no help from those people. You know, like, oh, nope. And but it's an SEC bias. There are people that are not interested in giving the best or most deserving 16 host sites. That is not on the agenda. I don't care what they say, because what they did doesn't match that narrative. If that was your intention, then that's what you would have done. You said, but Steve, you know, we should have, guys, yes, we shouldn't have had those early quad four losses. But, you know, does that not factor in the fact that we had some injuries early on? And everybody has some. But, you know, we could be deserving of a host site, and those guys out there have an agenda, and both of those things be true. It's true. We deserve to host. And I firmly believe, you know, hey, had we hosted, I think we'd probably be in Omaha. And, of course, there's no guarantee that they would have paired us up with Fayetteville. But if we beat Virginia, who is the better team? Let's just acknowledge that Virginia is better than Mississippi State. At least on that weekend, right? In Disharoon Park. They were better than us. And then they get paired up with Arkansas. You know, I said then the regional was going to be more difficult than the super, because I felt like even if we had to go to Fayetteville, we could win. In addition to that, you had the ability to beat Virginia. You'd have hosted a super here against Kansas State. And then it would be us all excited and exuberant making a trip to Omaha again. In many respects, may have been one of our most improbable trips to Omaha. Nothing will ever surpass 2018, though. I think we all agree with that. But yeah, so kind of, you're looking at this, again, I'm rooting for an all-SEC final. It's different than it is in football, to me. And what I mean by that is, you know, football, you want to get as many teams in the playoff because it means more money and purse to us. In baseball, it's a different dynamic. He's like, well, Steve, you know, we have to recruit against Tennessee. We're going to have to do that anyway. And Tony Vitello, despite his comments, and I like Tony, but Tony said, you know, if you're one of those guys with your hand out, you want to get NIL money, and I'm paraphrasing, don't waste our time or your time. No, Tennessee's going to pay them. They are. And you legally can, right? They're using their resources in a very wise way. I got to recruit against these same teams every year. That's true. And so I think it helps the branding of the SEC and say, hey, you know, we've won the national championship. We've been to Omaha, you know, 18, 19, and 21. We've been three times in the last few years. You know, we get you in, hey, we get ready to go again, right? You're the missing piece. But it's just incredible to me that there was so much SEC bias in the selections and really kind of an anti-SEC sentiment. And then half of the field ends up being SEC teams. And had Georgia found a way to beat NC State yesterday, you'd have 5 of 8 you would have the entire second bracket. The lower bracket would be basically another SEC tournament because you'd have had Georgia, Kentucky, Florida, and Texas A&M. It is interesting, too. We talk about the power of the SEC West. Only one team makes it, and that's Texas A&M. Arkansas didn't make it. OSU didn't make it. Obviously, we didn't make it. You can run all the way down there. But the East, it's been the East year. And I think the East got some favorable brackets with the exception of Florida. Florida had to earn it, man. They did. In the beginning of the year, everybody talked about, you know, hey, this Florida team is built for Omaha. And then they had a dreadful regular season. Ultimately find a way to get in, and I'll be honest with you, when they lost the first day at Hoover, I thought, you know what, this is going to be a tough sell to the committee. Apparently it wasn't. And all of a sudden, they can claim, hey, you know, we gave Florida a chance, and look, they're here. They're kind of taking the Ole Miss 2022 path. And this is a better Florida team than that Ole Miss team was, and that was a good Ole Miss team, don't get me wrong. You know, they had some guys that can swing it. They did. And, of course, Dylan DeLucia gets hot late. I think Florida's just kind of realizing their potential. So here's my feelings, kind of growing into the bracket here. And in case you guys don't know, North Carolina and Virginia, they'll get together 3 days from now, UNC versus Virginia. That'll be interesting. I'm going to take Virginia. And then Tennessee and Florida State play. I'm going to take Tennessee. I don't know how you guys feel. That's how I feel. So I got Tennessee and Virginia advancing to the winner's bracket game. We'll talk about that if we get a little bit closer. And then looking at the other bracket, if this link will work correctly, bracket two, and it doesn't work correctly, and so there it is. Kentucky and NC State. That's going to be a great game. Maybe the best of the first games. Kentucky and NC State. And some people would say, well, I want NC State to win it. You know, I think it's good for the game too, but I would rather see Kentucky win it because Nick Mangione is our friend. And Texas A&M versus Florida, I'll be honest with you, it's with Braden Montgomery out, I think it's going to be tough for A&M. I really, really do. I think it's going to be difficult. Of course, Hayden Schott's playing out there in center field. He's a little bit banged up. I just think without Braden Montgomery in this lineup, because pitching plays in Omaha, A&M has some pitching, but if they ever get into a situation where they need some offense, when you're losing a guy like Braden Montgomery, who was a first-round draft pick, you don't get better. But at least you're there. And at Texas A&M, for one reason or another, has had an anemic tradition in Omaha. Bad things always tend to happen. Now something, you know, just a routine play at the plate, Braden Montgomery breaks his ankle. And you hate it for him. You do. And so I think A&M could be the first team out of this bracket. I do. And if they beat Florida, maybe a different deal. But I think Kentucky, you get through NC State, and you should. You get through NC State, I think you got a really good chance to win this bracket. I really, really do. I don't know that A&M has the pitching depth to come out of the loser's bracket. I think Florida's playing with house money, and they'd love another shot at Kentucky. They would. But look at the top half of this bracket. You know, it's Tennessee versus the ACC. But I hate to say it, but I don't know that Tennessee makes it. I really don't. I think, are they the best team in college baseball right now? Yes. Are they built for Omaha? No. And that's going to be interesting. Especially like teams like North Carolina and Virginia, they play a different brand of baseball. It's not all predicated on home runs. They're going to get out there and move runners. They're going to run bases. They're going to shoot gaps. It's a different dynamic. But I'm excited. I mean, even though we're not there, I'm excited. It's not like when the NFL, like when the Pittsburgh Steelers are eliminated from the playoffs or eliminated or not met, the season's over for me. I'll watch the Super Bowl because it's part of popular culture, but it's over for me. You know, I don't have really a Major League Baseball team. I don't really follow pro sports. I live in the big maroon bubble. But I do enjoy the College World Series, and I love the College Bowl season for football. Absolutely love it. And the first weekend in March Madness. I mean, it's like there's so many great things to love about college sports. And so that's just kind of where I invest my emotional energy, in college sports. The next time that you're investing your energy in college sports and you want to come see Mississippi State play, you should stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And many of you already have, and you already began to make your preparations for football season. It's like, hey, I want to go up there and just enjoy my time at Starkville. And well, how great would it be to have everybody under one roof? rather than then like in 5 hotel rooms, and everybody's scattered across the city in Airbnbs, and all of a sudden we can't get Tanya on the phone. And where is Bill? What's happening? You know, thought we were all eating at 6. It's so much better to just congregate together. And listen, don't wait the football season. Many of you have thought, you know what, hey, I would love to be able to get my family together. I would get my friend group from college. I'd get all my high school classmates together, the ones that I ran with in my little circle, and let's all get together at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You can, I mean, just make it a staycation of sorts, right? Maybe it's a destination for you, and you love Starkville, and maybe you want to be up here and enjoy all of our restaurants when things maybe aren't quite so busy. Maybe the only time you make it to town is like a game day weekend, and everything's packed, right? And you can't really get out and shop in a leisurely way. Why don't you plan something for July? So you know what? Hey, let's all get together and make it a couple's weekend or a guy's weekend or a girl's weekend and stay at a Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook's going to come up and you can peruse through all the amenities that are available to you, that great back porch area, the fire pit. And guys, you're just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, the land you love, right? While you Google, booking options are going to come up for Airbnb, VRBO, and the Evolve website. If you choose Evolve, I can save you some money. It's the same place. If you just want to pay more, you can. But if you use the Evolve website, it's promo code BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. Yeah, how about that? Super cool. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we have last prospect camp of June, if memory serves me correct. And then we have the small high school 707. We'll have coverage for you there. Some basketball scheduling news has broken. Our Justin Frommer has found out, looks like State's going to be out in Arizona, the little tip-off thing out there in November. That'll be awfully interesting. You know, we were supposed to go out of the country. Looks like we're going to be heading to Arizona. You can read that story for free. And, you know, we're working through this, trying to get some scheduling information for you guys and, you know, working with the university, trying to get these contracts so we can share more details than just, hey, we're going to play on this day. Yeah, listen, summertime is here. I'm going to go ahead and give you guys this. It's June 11th, right? We're going to play football in, what is it, 81 days? 81 days? I think it's right. We're doing a countdown over at jeanspage.com. And today, last day of the promotion, you get 60% off an annual subscription. We'll be covering camps all the way through summer as they have them. And keeping up with your recruits on the football, baseball, and basketball side. But also in addition to that, too, let me tell you, don't wait until August to start your honeydew stuff. We talk about this every year, but I'm getting started early. I got a bunch of stuff I got to do around here because basically all I've done is let Dana run the spa and I've written a book and taken care of the dogs. I got stuff around here I need to do. Let me encourage you, make a plan to get this knocked out. 4th of July is going to be here and you're like, oh, well, I'll do it next week. And then all of a sudden, you know, hey, well, so-and-so's going to the beach and they asked us to go. Everybody's out for the summer. The kids have a million activities. Don't wait, because we're going to start playing football in August this year against Eastern Kentucky. I'm very excited to see the Jeff Levy era open. And we've got a lot of recruits out there that seem to really like Mississippi State, but they're ready to see this offense in action. Caleb Cunningham is one of those. Of course, everybody kind of freaked out. Well, he said Auburn's number one. Well, now Florida's even with them. And, you know, Caleb's going to work through the process. And again, I still expect him to be a Bulldog when it's all said and done. I think ideally he wants to be at Mississippi State. We just got to give him a reach and say yes, right? A lot of guys out there dealing with some NIL stuff. You know, that's part of the equation these days. But you need to be prepared that you're going to have an opportunity to come enjoy a lot of football. And the last thing you want, even though your wife's going to be with you and she's going to be happy, or maybe she's not with you, maybe she doesn't go, which makes it even worse, because it's one thing when you go as a family and everybody's excited to go. We want to go see Mississippi State win. We'll be back around all of our friends. And if you're like me, I raised my kids in Louisiana for many years. And so when they came back up here, it was like, hey, it's good to be around Mississippi State people. You know, we were just a maroon cork floating in a sea of purple and gold out there. You know, we had a few friends, you know, but it was tough. It was. But it's like a family reunion. But the last thing you want is her just kind of sitting there quiet on the drive up, because you didn't paint the garage like you promised, or you didn't clean up this. And, you know, go ahead and put a plan together. Of course, my plan, of course, is to finish up this book for you guys, and then I'll get out here and get some sun on my shoulders and do some work around the house. I don't like yard work, I'll be honest with you about it, but I got some things I got to do, you know. Such is life, right? If you don't take care of a house or your property, it'll fall down around you or grow up around you. And Maybe you don't get to live the way you don't. My standard of living is a little different from you guys. Like I don't cut my grass every week. And usually I'm not even the one cutting the grass, but I got to get out here and trim and do all this other stuff. But there is so much to be excited about. And the portal baseball season is going to determine how good we are next year. Got updates coming on that. Again, expecting a commitment today. But matter of fact, I've already got the story written, if I can just be honest with you. But I'm excited about what I'm hearing because State is on some of the best players in the portal. And as I have shared many times, we have to win a marquee matchup. You know, that's always been the thing. As great as we've done or as good as we've done in the portal, it's like you go back 2 years ago, we didn't get Paul Skeens. We thought we had a great chance. We thought it was going to be us in Arkansas. And it ends up being LSU. And he goes to LSU, and we're thinking if we can survive the official visit to LSU, we got a chance. Well, we don't get him, and he goes to LSU, and they win a national championship, and he obviously one of the most dominant pitchers that we've had in this league since Ben McDonald. Ridiculously good, right? Last year, Luke Holman wasn't Paul Skeens, but it seemed to make good sense that he would come here, and LSU did a good job. They got a walk-on, a transfer over, and they got him. Braden Montgomery was a guy, you know, again, a lot of people in his family wanted him here at Mississippi State. He elected to stay closer to Houston, Texas. And so he did transfer, as many people told us that he would, but your staff worked really hard on that, but Braden didn't even take a visit here. You know, multiple conversations with the family, and it looked hopeful for a while, but this never could get Braden to take the step. And again, congratulations to him on a great career, and we wish him the best. And you know, he's a guy that's represented Mississippi well, but I like it when those guys play at Mississippi State, but I have no ill will in my heart for Braden Montgomery, but what happens is even when we do well, and I'm not saying great, we do good, not great. When you don't get the big name, at least one of them, it puts kind of a damper on the rest of the portal season. So we really need to get one or two and say, but Steve, who are those one or two? Well, you just kind of hold on and wait, right? There's going to be more guys going to portal too. And of course, Mississippi State now with four guys in the portal. So that's where things sit today. I'll be back tomorrow. And we'll break down the new commitment. We'll talk about any other activity out there that you need to be aware of. But, we're playing it kind of close to the vest right now. But we're going to make sure that we guys give you guys great coverage over at jeanspage.com. And if you hadn't done so, let me encourage you. You need to come float at True Rest. Father's Day is coming up. Got a package deal going now. Also got a promotion this month, a $5 membership drive. You can join for just $5. Call my wife, Dana, 662-268-7601 to get more information or just visit TrueRest.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at True Rest of Starkville. A lot of members, things have gone great. We've been open 4 months now. Hard to believe. It's true. And that lovely wife of mine has basically worked every day. And so reward her efforts, right? Come be a part of you. I mean, and you're not just helping us, you're helping yourself. We had a guy come in this week. I won't break the anonymity, but he's had some back pain for an extended period of time. And he went, floated and felt great, went home the next day, called her back and said, hey, I'm a believer. I want to give a friend of mine who hurt his back one of my floats. And so I share that with you because of the fact that maybe your person's dealt with chronic pain or anxiety or insomnia, and maybe we can help you with that. So come be a part of it at True Rest of Starkville. Listen, I'm going to get out of here, guys. It's been a great show. It's been a great day. We look forward to being back tomorrow, back on schedule. But until next time, it's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.